I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome J.V. Crum III. J.V. is a business coach who helps entrepreneurs grow six- and seven-figure conscious businesses. He is a speaker, marketing expert, Huffington Post columnist, best-selling author of Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference, and he also hosts the top-ranking Conscious Millionaire family of podcasts. J.V. is founder of ConsciousMillionaire.com, a global coaching and wealth product business, and holds an MBA, JD, Master's in Psychology, and has built and sold successful companies. He's also the founder, director of the nonprofit Conscious World Foundation, which provides training to youth aged 18 to 25 to become the next generation of conscious leaders worldwide. JV, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on today.
Well, David, it's my honor, and I'm just excited to discuss what it means to have a conscious business, because that, to me, that's really the whole future of capitalism.
Well, let's start off right there, okay? In the bio that I just read, there's a lot about the conscious business. So can you tell me, what is a conscious business, and why are you so passionate about businesses having a conscious focus?
I think the best way to do that is kind of set up a contrast, and these are just my terminologies that I use. I talk about what we learned, what I learned in MBA, what I did for my first stage of building a regional trucking line, what is the typical way that business is talked about on, say, CNBC, as first stage capitalism, where there's really only one way of measuring your success, and that is how much money did you make or did you make for the stockholders. And frequently, that's where everything stops. And you might talk about ethics, you might talk about leadership, but that's really the game. And we've learned a lot from that stage of capitalism. We've learned about how to do pricing models and how to create systems and organize businesses and do leadership and scale businesses. And all of that still applies. But the big difference between that and what I call second stage capitalism, which is really about conscious entrepreneurship and building a conscious business, is that in the second stage, there's not just a focus on how much money do I make, but the real driver for the business, the biggest driver, is that there's what I call a higher purpose. There's a specific difference that you're passionate to make that's going to really uplift and bring your client to a new level or your customer to a new level. It's actually going to enhance their life. So in the first stage, the goal would be to figure out a widget. Let's just call it the widget, the typical widget. And you're going to figure out how to sell that widget to them, or you're going to give them something. Let's say that you're really only focused on what they want. So it would be easy in first stage capitalism to create a real sugary drink. And I think most of us at this stage of conscious development can accept, whether you engage in having sugary drinks or not, that there's nothing of value to them for your body. And in fact, they're counteractive to health and longevity. So that's an example of, you may figure out how to sell that sugary drink, but there really was no intrinsic value in the sugary drink. And in fact, it's actually bad for the person. But you're going to keep selling it because they want to buy it. And in second stage capitalism, you go, no, that's not how I'm going to organize my business. I'm going to look at, what is it that I can really deliver to the marketplace that I'm passionate about, because I know that it's a difference I'm here on the planet to really help make. And it's going to add intrinsic value, which is a lot different than I can just figure out how to get somebody to buy it, or they want it because they want to buy 12 donuts a day, right? And so you're really enhancing the quality of their life. You're enhancing the quality of the organization you work with. It's all about uplifting and taking the people you work with to a new level. And as a result, you're doing something that you believe in, and then you have a set of values typically that go along with that, that might read something about honesty, adding value, everybody on the team winning. Those kinds of values typically come along with the conscious business. So you want all the stakeholders involved to be winning, and you start looking at all of a sudden of how to collaborate and what I call the triple win principle. How do you, others, and society or the community or the industry, that third piece of a bigger group, how does everybody win at one time? And what you learn when you start looking at business that way is, wow, what's really interesting about that is that instead of existing in this old win-lose business way of looking at things, which is fairly typical, because at the most in first stage capitalism, you might talk about win-win. I want to win, I want the other person to win, but you're not looking at the bigger picture yet. In conscious business, we're looking at the bigger picture. We're asking questions that deserve an answer, like what kind of world do we want to live in? What do we want our community to be about? What do we want the world to be like 20 years from now, 50 years from now, at the end of the 21st century? And how can our business and what we do with our lives and how we lead, both in our business and in organizations we get involved with and in our community, how can we lead in such a way as to lead to that kind of result? And to get other people awake and aware that that kind of result is worth investing in. And so if you're really investing in a better world and a better way of life through everything that you're doing in your business. And that to me is what really this second stage of capitalism is about, which I call conscious business, conscious millionaire. That's what we're talking about.
You know, JV, it's really interesting that you are talking about providing value to everyone that has any touch with the business, either directly or indirectly, including the, you know, the communities in which we're all engaged. This may be anecdotal, but I find that more and more of the people I encounter in business are really tuned into trying to create a greater value for our world through the business that they're leading.
Well, I think that, you know, and I don't think there's a place that you can point to, but you know, every time a movement is evolving, there's a moment in which you kind of go through the pivot point of it moving into a whole new stage. And I think that happened somewhere around 6 or so years ago, that we as a culture started moving into the conscious stage. And it certainly doesn't mean that everybody's exactly what living where we're talking about right now. But what it does mean is that I'm just going to take an example. In 1999, I was living in Boulder, Colorado. The number one Whole Foods store in the country was Boulder, Colorado, right? We're still in the early adapter kind of granola, quasi-hippie hangout and go eat organic food. Right. Now, to the best of my knowledge, the number one Whole Foods is, and I've been there many times, is on Columbus Circle in New York City. Very different city than Boulder. And Whole Foods, I was just reading an article, actually their stock's gone down 40%. They've been the kind of the victim of their own success because now every supermarket has organic sections. And there are lots of other chains that are doing exactly what Whole Foods is doing. The good news from that, while that hasn't helped Whole Foods because they're no longer they were in an exclusive category, and now what they've done is they've been part of helping, along with a lot of other pieces, helping us move to where this is now mainstream. It's now mainstream that lots of people want to make sure that their potato or their carrots or any of their roots were particularly organic because otherwise they're just saturated with pesticides. And people are aware of that. And it's also changing how people want to work. I think that the 2008-2009 recession that we went through, the big value as a culture that brought us is that it made a lot of people aware of the unhappiness they already had. That the old way of doing things, not only did it end up with this big collapse, but it woke them up to a reality that they were wanting something more with their life than what they had. And I think that something more is doing something meaningful with our lives. And so all of a sudden, more people are saying, I want, whether I'm engaged as an employee or an entrepreneur or a leader in a larger organization, I want to be doing something on a daily basis that brings meaning to my life, and I'm unwilling to not do that. I'm unwilling to make choices that don't add meaning to my life and other people's lives because people started waking up to what's really important. And I submit to you, because I have a lot of people, when I sold companies 17 years ago, you know, I had people say, oh, wow, you've made it. And I said, well, no, I actually have no idea if I've ever made it until I get to the last day of my life. And I look back and find out that I lived my purpose. And if I didn't live my purpose well, then I didn't really make it. And if I lived my purpose really well, then I did make it, because that's what it's really all about. And I think more people are waking up to realizing it's about contribution, that our greatest fulfillment doesn't come from something we get for ourselves, but our greatest fulfillment actually comes from contributing and collaborating and uplifting other people and making a difference in other people's lives and in the world. That's where we really get our big fulfillment.
JV, do you think that this trend is just in the United States, or do you think that it has aspects that are going on worldwide?
I think it's going on worldwide. I think in many ways, Europe's ahead of us. I think Europeans in general have a stronger focus on quality of life. The very fact that in general they get 6 to 8 weeks of vacation, they care about the flowers that are out in their community. They go out in the evening and they want to spend the whole evening with friends. So if you go to a restaurant in Europe, you have the table for 3 or 4 hours if you want it for 3 or 4 hours. In America, they're really concerned. It's all about consumption, turning, you know, how fast can the restaurant actually get you out of the table is really their goal for the most part, because that's part of their productivity. And we're living in a society where we think it's normal that everybody should be happy with 2 weeks of vacation and then some holidays. So we're actually living in a culture here where it's pockets of areas where people are focusing increasingly on quality, and the millennial group are focused on quality. They're not willing to give it up. They've seen what it was like for their parents, and now they really are in a place where going, well, my values are I want quality of life, and I'm not willing to give up the quality of life. So now all of a sudden we have a whole group of people who say this is one of my highest priority values, as opposed to my highest priority value is figuring out what job I can have that'll give me the most money, even if I hate it, even if I have to work 50, 60 hours a week, even if it's not something that fulfills me, because I want the bigger house and I want to send my kids to the right schools. And those are all great things to want if they really serve your family. But that's a completely different orientation than waking up in the morning and saying, how can I create meaning in my life? How can I build a business that truly makes a difference in the world? How can I do something with my life today that's going to bring value to other people, that's intrinsic for them, that their lives are actually better? That's a very different orientation. And I think that's increasingly what we have. I think the great opportunity is Asia, because so many people there are learning about entrepreneurship, that one of my goals in the next 3 to 5 years is to be doing programs throughout Asia, teaching this conscious model of conscious millionaire and how you can take a path that has spiritual elements, has meaning elements, has ethical elements, and by golly, you can actually make more money by everybody winning along the way, because who wants to be involved with somebody where you always have to watch your back? And then who wants to be involved with the person that really cares about you and has a cause that you really believe in? That energizes everybody that gets involved with you.
So JV, if you're a business leader and you do want to create meaning in the lives of the people that you serve through the business, and you want to create value for the world, what are the key elements that you need to focus on to be able to grow a company consciously?
I think it really starts with having a vision that's inside of you, that's intrinsic in you, about how the world can be better. And if you're working inside an organization, then it's choosing to work in an organization that already has a vision that's aligned with who you are. If you're an entrepreneur, it's taking that vision and putting it in the core, the center. When I do business models with entrepreneurs, my business model isn't linear, it's actually a circle. And in the center of it is your higher purpose, that bigger vision, your values, and then your brand, and what's your brand about. And then that should infuse everything that you do, because that's informing you. As I go, you really have to first know what's the vision and what are your values, which is really, what are those higher priorities that are actually going to drive your business, that are different from saying, my reason for being in business is to maximize the amount of money I make. If the reason you're in business is to maximize the amount of money you make, then I would say that's just pure stage one. And you've kind of missed this meaning part, and you've missed the opportunity to live a life and build a business that truly will matter. And when you're focused on that vision, and that vision is always expressed in how can we deliver a better product? How can we connect with more clients? But the reason you're wanting to do that in the top, at the top level, the highest level, is that you are fully engaged in this vision, or what you might call your mission, to go out into the world and make a difference for this client. And because you're going to do that in a way that is smart business, you're going to know your numbers, you're going to know where you need to sell that product or service for, the price point, you're going to know all your costs, you're going to systemize, you're going to do all those things, because by doing all those things, you can now scale your business and touch more lives and make a bigger difference. And all of that is really what makes you feel the best. And then making the money is they're intertwined. They're not, one doesn't live without the other. You can't build a business without making money. The business, the difference between something that's a business and, let's say, a nonprofit is the nonprofit, unless it's a nonprofit that's actually selling products and then using that money to be able to help the people they want to help. But in general, I think the easiest way to look at it is, yes, of course a business is about making money. I think the amount, when you're looking at it from a conscious standpoint, the amount of money you're putting in the bank and the amount of profits that your business has is a direct reflection of the amount of value that you're adding to the world. And that's how you should think of it. Not just, how do I find somebody and get them to pay me some money?
Right. So let's say you go through the exercise of being really clear on what your vision and purpose are.
And your values that go along with that.
Right. And you're clear on your values and how you're going to be adding value to your audience or to the world. What are some of the reasons why businesses will, in spite of going through that exercise, will still get stuck and not be able to grow, assuming that there is, that in this exercise of vision, purpose, and values clarification, you're really clear on who your audience is, and there is a need for what it is you're offering. So there is product market fit, but still you're not growing.
Right. Well, I think there's several reasons that can be occurring. Let's assume, for the purpose of just discussing this, that you actually have a product that there's a group of people who need and want that.
Right. Okay.
All right. So let's assume that those pieces are there. I think the first piece that will make the biggest difference, and it's work that every entrepreneur must do, it's work that every leader must do. I have devoted a lot of time to doing it with myself, and I still do it. And that is, you got to work on your actual mindset and your beliefs. And what you believe at the core, what I have found is that there is typically in all of us, and I think there are layers of these actually, are beliefs about worthy and deserve. And for some people it'll be worthy, and for other people the word deserve. And if you were to just take right now, today, spend some time, take a half hour, take a pad of paper, take a whiteboard, however you want to do it on your computer, but to write out the sentence, I don't deserve, or I'm not worthy of, whichever one works for you. And then just let yourself be in a place where you kind of can relax. You're not trying to multitask while you do this. You might even put on some relaxing music if that helps you. And let whatever comes out, come out. And sometimes it can be very startling. And most of the time I have found, because part of my background is having a master's in clinical psych and, you know, all of that training and the NLP training, is that I find that a lot of it really comes out of early childhood. Things that we heard when we were growing up, how we got valued growing up, what we were told about money, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, that kind of thing. And that it gets translated in that I don't really deserve that level of success. You've got to do that level of work with yourself, because it's going to get in the way if you don't. And all the great strategies and coaching are not going to get you there if you don't do some of that work, because that's gonna stop you. And then they're just the pure things that a lot of people do not have. It's one of the things that I work with on every client typically, is refining their business model and bringing it with their vision and their business model, having very clear strategic goals and then strategic steps that are very linear in nature, while being dynamic. And by dynamic, I mean what you learn one week may influence what you do the next week. So you kind of have a tentative plan for next week, but you don't get to next week until you finish this week. But you know where you're headed. You know what the goal is. You typically, I say, don't have more than three goals for your business. Most people aren't clear about one. It's very unusual when I talk to a small business owner that they actually can, in a crystal clear way, tell you where they want their business to be in 3 years. Most can't tell you where they want it to be in a year in a very crystal clear, realistic way. So you've got to do that work, and then you've got to figure out, what do you want this to be? What is this going to become? And now if you go out 3 to 5 years, ask yourself, what is necessary for the business model to be 3 to 5 years from now? And then come back and go, okay, so that's the business model. And now you know where you want to focus. And you start putting together the systems. And by systems, I mean anything that is done on a repetitive basis throughout your business. You need to systemize it. And if there are certain steps, and then you need to document that so that everybody's going to do it the same way. You don't have three different people processing customer orders three different ways. You can't have that. So then you find out all your inefficiencies by doing that. And then I would say that the other thing is trying to do way too much. I'm a really strong proponent of lean design. So you really want to be focused on the least number of things, not the most number of things. That will allow you to get something out. You want to focus on the smallest version of your product so you get it to market and start finding. So you get it to the market, you're getting cash flows from it, and you're getting feedback as to what's going to be the next version of it. But you get it out there. So I think there's way too much focus on trying to do too many things, and that the less you do in your business, generally the more successful you're going to be. I'd rather you do one product really well, understand your market, that product really solves a problem for your market, and you really hone in on that. There are great businesses today that are being built on one product.
JV, do you find that it's somewhat counterintuitive to think about vision in very big terms, creating a big vision, having an overall purpose that has that's a big purpose, but then looking at lean design and working on very small steps to get there?
No, actually, I think the two go together really well. So the reason you want a big vision is you want a vision that can constantly expand and that inspires you and your team and will attract people to want to work with you. And they're also going to attract customers. They're going to attract strategic partners, because you and I meet people all the time. Who are we most attracted to? It's the charismatic people. Well, it's easy to be charismatic if you're excited about what you're doing and you really believe in it and you think it's going to make a difference. So the vision is what gives you all that motivation and passion. And the vision creates a picture of hopefully infinite possibilities. So the great thing about being an entrepreneur is that I think most of us have visions that are bigger and constantly expanding. We'll never catch up to the whole big vision, and that's kind of good. However, we'll build the best business if we focus on less, because we'll be able to build it better. And if you try to, you know, my formula for creating wealth is conscious, focused action, not conscious, multi-directional action. You will get far more done if you get really conscious of what's that result that makes the biggest, highest priority difference in your business over the next 30 days, and you make that the driver, as opposed to making you go, oh, well, there are all these things that we could be doing. That's true. There's an infinite number of things you could at any moment always be doing. But if you try to focus on all of them, you'll be unsuccessful at probably all of them.
Change is hard. Changing one thing is hard enough if we're trying to change.
Taking one step at a time, where each step is accomplishable in the time frame you've allowed for it, is actually easy. And that's actually the best way to create change. And it's also the least risky way, because it's one that you can course correct as you go along and go, oh, that didn't quite work. And that's called marketing, and that's called testing, right?
Right.
So we're going to constantly test everything. The model that I teach has five levels. So it's conscious, focus, action, what's the result you want, and then there's the learning stage. So then you, once you go through the model once, so let's say you put something out in the marketplace or you put out some content, but it doesn't get a lot of attention, then you ask yourself, and that could be like on social media. So you ask yourself, oh, what worked about what I put out, what didn't seem to work, and what do I need to change? Then you go back and you change ideally one thing, and then you put something out and you see, well, what worked with that? And by doing this, you actually learn what other people are actually wanting that you have. I'm a big proponent of Survey. I always give a great shout out to SurveyMonkey because I use it. It's free if you ask less than 10 questions and have less than 100 responses. I'm a big proponent of surveying and finding out what people have to say, talking to your clients, talking to prospects, going to conferences where your prospects are there and having conversations with them. Go to meetups. It's so easy. They're free. They're all over the country. They're in every city. You've got meetups all the time. Go there and have conversations with people, and you're going to find out a lot about what their real problems are, because when everything's said and done, the only way to build a successful business is to be solving some problem that someone is eager to have solved right now, today, because that's what will make them want to buy.
That is so true. So, JV, these are all great ideas and great tips. I love what you're doing in terms of trying to build businesses in a conscious way. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you're working on now. I know that your book, The Conscious Millionaire, is a great resource. It's something that I encourage our listeners to take a look at. What else are you working on that's very exciting?
Well, right at the moment, I was just on a call, and right after this, I have another call with potential clients. So I'm doing some one-on-one coaching again. I hadn't done that much in 2 years. And in my one-on-one coaching, I'm really looking for entrepreneurs who are very successful at the 6 or 7 figure level, and they want to take their business, they want to at least double their business, and they really want to take that journey, and they're eager to do that. And that's the type of thing I'm good at, and it's really a lot of fun to work with that person. However, I want to really touch so many more people. So we've got the two podcasts that are doing, you know, very well. And I have a third podcast. I just launched a second one that's on health. And the reason I did that is I was in great shape, and I went back and I took my father through the dying process, and he had Parkinson's, and at the end he had a stroke. And in that last year, but in 7 months in particular, I gained 70 pounds. I gained over 100 pounds.
Wow.
And that very much impacted my life. And it's impacted me as an entrepreneur and the amount of energy that I've had. And then I'm looking at, well, what do I want out of my life, and what do I want longevity, and how many people do I really want to help? And in my case, I came to a conclusion that before I leave, I want to make a positive impact on 1 billion people. And then I started looking at how is that possible, and I actually realized it actually is very possible because of all the ways that we can leverage and all the ways we'll be able to leverage 2 years and 5 years from now that we don't even know about. So I think that's actually a very achievable goal now that I've decided that's my number of, you know, what I really want to do. And so all that helped me realize is that I'm not alone. While I had an extreme example because of kind of a traumatic, the way it all happened, it was pushed a lot of emotional buttons for me. But what I realize is that as entrepreneurs, even if somebody's at the ideal weight, that doesn't mean they're healthy at all. It doesn't even actually mean they're fit. It just means that they're at the ideal weight. But the real problem we have as entrepreneurs is we're on a roller coaster. You know, and one day we might work till midnight. It's hard to find rhythms as an entrepreneur. We really have to work at all those things. And so I said, let's do a reality show. We're going to talk about my losing 100 pounds, but far more importantly, we're doing 30-day challenges with audience members that they can join a 30-day challenge to go through and get themselves in better health and better fitness and get more focused in their business and find a better work-life balance, and then interview them and start putting those snippets on. So in about a month, we'll start adding that section to the show. And so I think it makes it a very exciting show. The big piece that I'm working on is the Conscious Millionaire Business Academy. And that's about a 3 to 5 month build out. So it'll be built out this fall, and then we'll test it, get it all working. And hopefully my target's by January to be ready to go and do affiliate marketing and scale it on a big level so that we have a whole academy that's focused on how do you consciously build a business. For instance, marketing is a little bit different, I think, from a conscious perspective, because you aren't just trying to figure out how do you sell a widget that may have no intrinsic value. You're really focused on how do you sell that product in a way that you communicate in a way that both respects and motivates the person listening to move forward. But the reason you're moving them forward towards buying, so moving through the marketing cycle into the sales cycle, the reason you're doing that is that you are 100% convinced that this product is going to make a difference in their lives. And so your motivation and the way that you word it is different. I mean, you can always, all offers are limited offers, but to say there's only three spaces left when there's really an infinite number of spaces is a blatant lie. And I think that that's the kind of stuff we were taught by marketers in the first stage. And especially if you go back 5 to 10 years ago on the internet, that was pretty rampant. What I notice on the internet is that kind of now looks slimy. And what's going on is a much more, what we're now calling content marketing. And really it's about engaging with your customer, learning about your customer, building a relationship with your customer. And through that relationship building and informing them and then taking them through, say, the launch of a product, it's all always about focusing on them and their needs and the value that you're bringing to them. That's a whole different way to market. And I think that's a much more appealing in this a conscious approach to life, that people want to market that way. It's an effective way to market. It's a respectful way to market, because you're really communicating the value to someone in a way that's compelling.
JV, you clearly influence a lot of people in terms of understanding how to impart value to the world. Who have been some of your influencers that have been pivotal for you in your career?
Well, you know, early on, it actually was Tony Robbins, because I've always been about personal growth. I think I just kind of was interested in personal growth from the beginning, and then especially going to college and I was pre-med originally, then I was pre-seminary, then I was a psychology major, and I did all that in 3 years, and then I went and got a master's in clinical and testing psych. So Tony Robbins was one of the early people in the 80s who was doing a lot of programs. So I went through all of his programs, and I then simultaneously worked with all the originators of NLP, which was really where I learned NLP. Tony Robbins is more about personal development and motivation pieces. And that was kind of my early taste of, oh, wow, there are people out there doing programs about this, because that was still early in the 80s. So he was a really big inspiration for me, because he painted a picture of possibility of me being able to connect with who I am and take who I am to a different level. And in the process, I began to think about, where could I take other people? You know, I'm taking this journey, but how can I help other people and help them take their journeys? So I saw that there was a model, and then I read, you know, lots of books. I think on the spiritual side, you know, certainly Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra have had big influences on me in terms of a lot of thought processes. And then just really going back to the earliest, you know, Think and Grow Rich is my seminal book. I mean, and interestingly enough, on my own show, when I ask what's a business book that you'd recommend, it's been the number one recommended business book. I don't know of anybody who's been successful who hasn't read Think and Grow Rich and said that that's a really big piece of their life. Because that was really the beginning, the very early stages in the early parts of the 1900s of getting a book out there that was saying, hey, here are the principles for how anybody can be successful. It isn't someone that's unique that's successful. It's someone that does certain things and thinks in certain ways and takes certain actions that become successful.
Those are great examples. JV, whom do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who are doing remarkable work. I think in the area of coaching, I really like the work that Bill Barron's doing with conscious coaching. I think that he does a really good job with that. And I look at a lot of people that maybe other people would see as competitors, and I just see them as potential collaborators. And I look at what are they doing and what do I really like about what they're doing and how is it connecting with the audience. And how is it making a bigger difference in the world? So I'm constantly looking around to see what other people are doing, and then oftentimes contacting them and going, hey, how could we do something together?
That's great. JV, how can listeners learn more about you?
The easiest way is just go to consciousmillionaire.com, because everything is right there. You can right to the right when you get there. You can click on my book. I highly recommend that you get the book, because it has 14 chapters and each chapter has coaching in it. And then there's a link in the book that gets you a $97 video program for free. And there are videos that go along with all the chapters, so that I designed the book to be an action-oriented book, that you could actually take the book and get tremendous value out of it by working on the coaching exercises as part of that $97 value package you get for free. You also get a journal that has all the coaching listed out in it. So if you really want a conscious approach where you're going to learn, well, what is the mindset you want to do? There's a chapter on how to be highly productive, and we use that in our business. I mean, it's really interesting, because we're kind of like a laboratory, and I've actually evolved pieces in the book just because we use them and find, oh, well, here's another piece we could add to that. And you can click on the podcast tab and find both of the current podcasts, the Conscious Millionaire Podcast Business Coaching for Conscious Entrepreneurs and the podcast Conscious Millionaire Health Reality Podcast. And then under coaching, what I really like to do, if you have a company and it's a six-figure company, you really want to take it to seven, or you've got a seven and you're really ready to take it to a completely new level, under coaching, there's just an application you can complete. And I'll spend 20 to 30 minutes with you and be very glad to give you a session and give you some action steps that you can take in the next 7 days on your business to move it forward. And then if you want to have a discussion about how we could work together so that you can really build your business, you know, I'll be glad to have that one as well. But there's no obligation. I really just like helping people. And if you've got a business, and the only requirements that I have, if you're going to go fill out that, is you really got to be committed to building your business, and you got to be committed to growing yourself, because there's no way to grow a business that without growing yourself. The two are intertwined. Personal growth and business growth are part of the whole piece.
Yeah, they are very intertwined, and they have to be in alignment. You're so right. Well, JV, this has been a very fascinating discussion, and I think very valuable to our audience. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show and joining us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been business coach, speaker, marketing expert, author, and podcaster, JV Crum III. Thank you again, JV, for joining us.
David, thank you so much. It's my honor to be on your show.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.